And it's one of those moments when, as you go through the service, you're just deleting paragraphs of your talk, which were already shared with us. So be patient with me, because I want to rethink what actually is the message for today. It's the first day of Sukkot. Reading came from Bamidbar 29, and what we were reading is was verses 12 to 16. But we were reading the passage, the Haftarah, the prophet Zechariah. Having that vision connected to the time of Sukkot. It's chapter 14, verses 1 to 21. And then from Messianic writings, we read from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, slightly longer passage. It was from verse 1 to 21. Although you could probably extend it for the rest of the chapter, because the whole chapter is connected to this vision of the new Jerusalem. And so here we are, celebrating Sukkot. This is the start of the last of the festivals, the Moedim, the beginning of the final celebration. A festival of 7 days, as we heard, and personally, Sukkot is really my favorite festival. And please don't stone me, I love Passover as well, but it is Sukkot which brings that final joy and the redemption all together. You can ask me, how can you say this? Passover is the festival of redemption, and it is, but Sukkot shows us, gives us hope of the redemption which is yet to come.
Amen.
Sukkot is the festival celebrating completion in gathering of the second harvest and the coming of well-deserved rest. Its prophetic meaning is undeniable. As we read the scriptures, we just hear the key messages, the prophetic vision of what is to come. It's a festival celebrated for 7 days. And on the eighth day, just for good measure, we have another celebration to conclude. This festival lasts for 7 days, and on each day it was full of activity. Nowadays, as we live in our secular world, we don't really appreciate the magnitude and the joy which just was happening during those 7 days. So, what do we know about this festival? Well, for me, and this is one of the reasons why I like it so much, this festival is all about the food. Hey, we do like food, we do like good food, we like celebration food, and really the food is one of the first things which are mentioned in the commandments which we have to keep the celebration of Sukkot. And from personal experience, not surprised, I spelled pretty much the whole day yesterday, cooking, preparing food, stuffing, and doing this, doing that. And as I was doing it, I was contemplating the deeper meaning of stuffing food, as you do. And apparently it's symbolizing the bounty of harvest. Honestly, in my opinion, it just created more demand on Jewish women to keep them in the kitchen in preparation of this wonderful festival. But it's a time I do not regret, because it's just thinking and preparing the mind for this day, and the community getting together It is a wonderful time, and of course it's also about the community, because Sukkot was a pilgrim festival. As we know, people coming in, coming to the temple, getting together, and celebrating together, bringing the offerings which we heard about in our Torah reading. Sukkot is a harvest festival, and so it's natural to focus on the blessing of food. Nowadays, we don't fully appreciate the meaning of what it means, what it is to have good harvest, what it means to gather everything in a storage, because we have that. You can go down the road in a supermarket, do the shopping. But actually, Sukkot teaches us that full pantries is a blessing from God. A blessing which we don't fully appreciate nowadays. And maybe we should be more grateful about the provision and the food which we receive, are able to buy on a daily basis. It was a time where there were no supermarkets. You had to work hard, labor in the fields, in the gardens, to grow the food and bringing in. And so it's good for us to remember that, as with everything, for our food we rely on God for all of our provisions. The other Torah reading, which is connected with the festival of Sukkot, is from the book of Leviticus 23. It says, 7 days present food offerings. See? Food. Food offerings to the Lord, and on the 8th day hold a sacred assembly and present more food offering to the Lord. It's a closing special assembly. Do not do any regular work. And as we have historic records, this is what was happening for 7 days. You can imagine that the tabernacle, and of course later, as we have the records, the temple was hive of activity. People coming in, everyone gathering in to bring those offerings. Jerusalem would be filled with travelers coming from everywhere. Across the world, the known world, if we talk about the first century, people were gathering in, joining to the in the celebrations. Sukkot is also one of the days when bringing gifts and offerings before Adonai is appropriate. That's why we even today, bring our festive offerings dedicate the blessing that God has given us, dedicate a portion of it for the work of the Lord. Sukkot is a time for presenting Adonai with food offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, drink offerings. This is all beside the normal Shabbat and normal gifts. And also there were vows, freewill offerings that we would normally give to Adonai. The message of all this is Sukkot is time to be generous. As the final food harvest is gathered, people now can rejoice in God's generosity and show their joy and thanks through the way how they present gifts before Adonai. It's time to relax, rejoice, and be grateful. There are many beautiful activities that were taking place during the Sukkot festival. We already heard from Rabbi a little bit about the wolf species, which we have here. Just getting those brings me so much joy to see. Beautiful citron, etrog, and the leaves, holding them in our hands, just brings us the joy of knowing that what they symbolize is the blessing of God. Also, we need to remember that during the temple times, there were other activities which we don't follow today, and those were a great source of joy and celebration, which was the water libation festivities, the pouring of the water, Nisu Hamayim, that amazing time, just reading about it in preparation of the talk, was amazing, because this is a ritual which is celebrated with music, with dancing, singing during the night. And the record says that each night the temple was illuminated with golden menorah lamps, and it was bright, streets full of people, and at each end of the day, the pilgrims assembled in the temple courtyards, and under the light of the menorahs and the torches, they would accompany the priests to the Shiloh pool to take the water. And when the vessels were filled with pure spring water, everyone would return back to the temple. This procession, full of light and noise, was accompanied by the blasts of the shofar, the tekiah, teruah, tekiah, just symbolizing the importance of those moments. The rabbis explained that these blasts of joy were in fulfillment of the verse, "You shall draw water in joy from the springs of salvation." It's from Isaiah 12, verse 3. And those waters were then poured out onto the altar. The prophets mention Sukkot as the one day when the nations will have to come before the Lord in the Messianic age. The festival of Sukkot, in that sense, is not only for us, the Jews, it's for everyone. We read today the passage from the prophet Zechariah, which talks about the nations coming. In some ways, they have to come. They are being forced to come and present themselves before the Lord. What does that mean? It means to come and humble themselves, to bow the knee, acknowledge that He is King. This is a festival celebrated by all of those who belong to Adonai. Those who oppose to Him will have to acknowledge. They will be forced to come acknowledge that He is Lord. I always wondered about these prophecies, as it suggests that some people or nations, talks about Egypt and other nations, may not be willing to come and show before Adonai, and that they will have to be made to go for the good of the nation. So there is water, there is rain. Why would you not want to go and worship before the Lord? It's an interesting observation, but we shouldn't be surprised, because it's human nature trying to resist God. But Sukkot also teaches us about the final ingathering. The festival has strong thread of humility attached to it, as we bring special offerings to acknowledge God's sovereignty in our lives. We thank Him for His provision of our food, of everything. We are commanded to live for 7 days in perishable booths, not stone houses. As Rabbi mentioned earlier today, it's about reminding us that we were sojourners, and that it was God who brought us out of Egypt, and He made us to dwell in those temporary dwellings. generations may know that I, Adonai, made the people of Israel dwell in the booths. It was his provision when he brought us out of bondage. In other words, we were dependent on God for all of our provision, not just the food, but also our dwellings. We had to trust him that it's not going to rain, that our dwellings are not going to get wet. It wasn't in the UK, so it wasn't so challenging. It tells us that we were completely dependent on him. And that is so true even now. That's why we have the sukkah, to remind ourselves that our lives are truly in the hand of our God. Don't be fooled by our lovely houses, secure jobs, and Sunday food shopping. This is all God's provision and grace. And on this day, we remember this and we celebrate his care for us. Sukkot is not just a harvest festival. It's also a festival in which Adonai's love is celebrated and shown. It's also called the Mansipatein, the time of our rejoicing. And so special joy pervades the whole festival. We already talked about the prophetic link of Sukkot, the final ingathering, the time of salvation for both Jews and those who are counted in. It refers to the time when God's dwelling place will be with his people and he will dwell among Israel again. And just reading from the book of Revelation today about the new Israel coming in and the 12 gates with the names of the 12 tribes, as Rabbi mentioned, this is important and we have a record of it. But there is one verse which we haven't read this morning, and just as we were looking through this, we should have included it in our reading, the Revelation 21 verse 22, when Yohanan writes, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." They are in the middle of his people. Sukkot, in its present form, reminds us that there is that final celebration, that wedding of the Lamb, as it said, but that wedding and the bride, as we heard today, actually the wife, Israel, is yet to come. The biggest wedding of all the time, the biggest time of our joy, our celebration, Zaman Simchatenu indeed. And we remember that and we hope for it to come soon. Amen.